Hello everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends, and in today's case, I'm actually not quite sure how to classify this creature because it is the oh-so-wonderful monarch butterfly. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Samantha, Caitlin, Megan, Barry, and Sophia. Thank you all for writing in and for requesting this awesome critter. I hope you enjoy your episode. For how to request an animal and for all of the facts that were used in this episode, you can go straight to the description or the show notes, or you can wait until the end where I will go over all of this. For those of you who love the show and would like more of it in the form of exclusive episodes, you can even vote on new episodes once a month. You can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just go to the Patreon link in the description. There is also a 7-day free trial, and so you can try out the Patreon and see what you like. The nature sounds or ambiance that is used in this episode is courtesy of George Vlad. I have left all of his stuff in the description, his YouTube, his website. I encourage all of you to check it out because it is due to his work that we can do so. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. I usually start speaking a bit faster so we can get through most of the introduction and straight into the meat of the episode. If you are new to the show, welcome. If you're a long-time listener, you know what I'm going to ask of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of running shoes, something that feels comfortable. We are going to be needing that for where we are going today. The second thing I ask is that you notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head? Is it in the neck? Is it in the shoulders? Everyone here is different, but my exhortation to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that is tense for you. It might be helpful to start from the feet, go up to the head, and see what really is hanging on. You can even bring up some Jell-O and do your Oscar award-winning impression of it. And the third thing I encourage you to do is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the mountain forests of Mexico. We will learn in just a moment why it is that we are here in this location specifically, but it is here that we can see an abundance of monarch butterflies. If we could hear the flapping of all of those wings, it would just be deafening. But let us just go over some general stuff before we go into the specifics. We are here in this Mexican forest looking for the monarch butterfly. That is, of course, its common name, but its scientific name is Danis plexippus. This scientific name is reaching back to the Greek, and it literally means in English something like sleepy transformation. We will learn more of why they are called that in a moment, but it has something to do with their ability to metamorphose or to hibernate. The monarch butterfly is, of course, an invertebrate. A reminder that invertebrates are creatures that do not have a backbone. They do not have one, and they never grow or develop one in the future. The monarch, we can be very happy, is a herbivore, meaning they eat exclusively plant material, and when they are all grouped up like they are today on our adventure, they are called a flutter of butterflies. How intuitive is that? Their entire life will be between 6 to 8 months, and their wingspan will be between 3.7 to 4.1 inches. They are, of course, incredibly light. They are 0.0095 to 0.026 ounces. I'm not sure how much that means to anybody, but they are light. And I am sure that many of you out there have already seen this creature, maybe in your backyard, maybe in a meadow somewhere, And it is precisely these creatures that we deem so ordinary, so common, that are hiding so many things waiting for us to discover. Now, we could have been many places today. They are native to both North and South America, but they have also gone to places where a specific plant known as milkweed grows. And in terms of North America, the monarch butterfly is divided into two main groups. The western monarchs are those that breed west of the Rocky Mountains and spend their winter times in Southern California. And then you have the eastern monarchs, the ones that we are looking at today. They will spend their winters in central Mexico, making their trip all the way from the Great Plains and from Canada. They can also be in a variety of other places far from North America: New Zealand, Australia, Portugal, Spain, Hawaii. And so perhaps you heard that they are native to North and South America, and you thought, well, how is it that I, as an Aussie, have access to this creature? Well, one way or another, they have spread quite far. And now, the monarch butterfly has that very familiar coloration of the orange wings that are marked with those black veins and a black border. They then are sported with two rows of spots that are intended to be something like a hazard sign or a warning signal that says to potential predators, "I do not taste very good." This is something that we actually covered on the Patreon when we talked about mimicry. The monarch butterfly looks remarkably similar to the viceroy butterfly, and when two noxious creatures resemble one another as a form of defense against predation, that relationship is known as Mullerian mimicry. And so those spots on the monarch butterfly are not just for show, and they are certainly not a bluff. They do indeed taste foul and are poisonous. Milkweed is their main source of sustenance, and milkweed is toxic, but it has no negative effect as far as the monarch is concerned, and in fact goes to benefit them quite a bit. Not a lot of predators will intentionally expose themselves to poisonous material or to toxins of any kind, and no one really enjoys eating something that tastes awful. The health of smaller creatures like birds can seriously be affected by ingesting the monarch butterfly. And it is during the caterpillar stage of the monarch butterfly's life that they store up these toxins. They continue to eat and to eat, and even after they go through the process of metamorphosis, which we will talk about in a moment, the toxins will remain in their system and affect any predator that consumes them. The monarch butterfly does not begin as a monarch butterfly, but starts as a caterpillar, what most scientists will call larvae. And while it is a larva or a caterpillar, its main job is to grow as much as possible. They will spend nearly all of their time eating, and eating only milkweed. So wherever there are monarch butterflies present, there have to be milkweed leaves. And females very specifically lay their eggs on milkweed leaves, and so after they hatch, they can get straight to eating. After a period of around 2 weeks, after consuming as much milkweed as possible, they will then create these protective casings around themselves in order to enter the pupa stage. These protective casings are spun. The casing is made of a simple silk that it itself spins into being. The pupa stage that they are entering is also known as chrysalis. After another week or two, they will finish what is called their metamorphosis, and they will emerge fully formed as those butterflies we know and are looking at right now. If metamorphosis sounds like it is Greek, it most certainly is. It is a Greek word which means change of form. In the case of this creature, they change their form from a caterpillar to a beautiful black and orange adult monarch butterfly. And after they have formed all of those characteristic markings, you can actually tell apart the males from the females. The male monarch butterflies have two black spots in the center of their back wings, while the females do not. And the females have thicker veins on their wings than males do. And so with a keen eye, you can tell the difference. Prior to them being that orange and black color, the monarch caterpillars also have stripes of their own, what look to be yellow, black, and white bands. Before they gain that 4-inch wingspan, their bodies will reach a length of 2 inches as caterpillars before they go through metamorphosis. They also have tentacles that look like antennae at the end of their body. And now we come to the reason why we are here in Mexico in this mountainous forest. This is because of that huge migration of the monarch. It is one of the greatest natural phenomena that we know of. A single monarch in its journey can travel hundreds or even thousands of miles. Some have been seen to migrate up to 3,000 miles. And remember that for the Western monarch, they are breeding west of the Rocky Mountains and traveling all the way to Southern California, while the Eastern monarchs that we are looking at now are migrating all the way from the Great Plains and from Canada to here in central Mexico. One of the most remarkable things is that these monarchs know exactly where to go, even though they have never made the journey before. Remember that they only live from between 6 to 8 months of age, and so without making this journey, how is it that they know exactly where they are to go? Scientists call this their internal compass, and to me it is one of the coolest things ever. Once they have arrived to their destination, here for us in this mountainous forest in Mexico, they huddle together in oyamel fir trees to wait out the harsh winter. Once they have arrived at their destination, for us that is this mountainous forest in Mexico, they will come together on oyamel fir trees to wait out the winter time. They will then begin their arduous journey back, laying eggs as they go. And the journey is so long, in fact, that the process of maturation and laying eggs and flying can repeat over 4 or 5 generations of monarchs before they have reached Canada again, or the respective destination of the Western monarch. Isn't that just amazing? 4 or 5 generations of butterflies, each knowing exactly what they are to do and where they are to go, the monarch is proving to be a very impressive animal. And I mentioned before that scientists say they have some kind of internal compass. Researchers say that it is a magnetic compass, in fact, that helps them to navigate on cloudy days. They rely a lot on the sun to stay on course, but when clouds come onto the scene, they have something that tells them where to go. I am not sure how this conclusion was derived, which organ, what part of their body is the magnetic one, which one acts as the compass, is it the body as a whole, and how do they know? There are many questions here to be answered. Perhaps these are seeds for you to go and explore some questions on your own as well. But the monarch butterfly for this trip also has a very special advantage, a gene that makes for very highly efficient muscles. These muscles have a lot of endurance and make for some easier long-distance flights. Well, let us move on to the name of the animal. Where does its name come from, or what does it mean? The word monarch has been used from the 15th century, and it is defined as a supreme governor for life, a sole or autocratic ruler of a state. This goes through French to Latin and then to Greek, and the Greek word monarches means one who rules alone. So nothing particularly jumps up as to why the monarch butterfly is called the monarch butterfly. There is one theory that says the monarch was called the monarch in honor of King William III of England. He was the Prince of Orange, and so perhaps it is in reference to the butterfly's orange color. This butterfly was also called the milkweed butterfly in and around the 19th century. And now the word butterfly, a seemingly odd combination of words, butter and fly. Some sources say that maybe they were called the butterfly because of an old notion that these insects consume butter or milk that has been left uncovered. But some say it is because the pale yellow color of some butterflies. Or maybe it is also based on an old Dutch cognate word that I cannot pronounce. And so it is not as neat and tidy as many of the other etymologies on the show. Language is a very complex thing, and we cannot always track its progression as we would like to. And the charity for this episode is SaveOurMonarchs.org. They are working to promote the recovery of the monarch population, one milkweed at a time. They are basically dedicated to planting as much milkweed as they can. And so if you would like to support them, you can go to SaveOurMonarchs.org or just click on the link that is in the description. And now let us move to the review portion of the show. This review is coming from Ali32, who is writing all the way from the United States of America. And Ali writes, "Great podcast for going to sleep. I love listening to Steph and I've learned a lot about animals. I can always relax listening to this podcast. It's definitely my favorite." Thank you, Ali, for your kind review. I'm so happy that the show has helped you learn more about animals. There is so much to learn about, and I am also glad that it helps you to relax and to unwind. If the show helps you at all, leaving a review or a rating is one of the biggest things that you can do. It helps more people find the show and to listen along with us. It helps the show get better. And I also want to thank all of you who have shared the podcast with your friends or with your peers. The more people that we have joining our adventures in the seas and the mountains, the better. If you want to request an animal for your very own episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Animal Request tab. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram, or you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. If you like the show and would like to vote on next episodes once a month and get access to a bunch of exclusive stuff, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click the link in the description. The ambiance used in this episode was captured by George Vlad. His YouTube and his website are in the description, and I encourage all of you to go support him. The resources that were used in this episode are Britannica.com, NationalGeographic.com, EtymOnline.com, and SaveOurMonarchs.org. This episode would not have been possible without their contributions to the animal facts world. And so all of those are also in the show notes. What an amazing creature we have covered today. Again, a creature so ordinary as the monarch butterfly is also one of the most mysterious. A critter that knows exactly where to go thousands of miles away, continuing on that arduous process for 3 to 5 generations just to make it back home. I mean, the monarch is so cool. Thank you for taking the time to join me on this adventure, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.